الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام ورسول الله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله. All praises are due to God. All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Lord of all the worlds, Lord of all that we can understand and what we can perceive in this universe, and all that we cannot understand or perceive or never will, all praises are due to Him. I bear witness that there is no God but the one God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the final messenger of God, completing the long chain of prophets that includes Jesus, Moses, Abraham, and all the prophets and messengers that we find in God's glorious Quran. May God's peace and blessings be upon them all. My dear brothers and sisters, I am a police officer with the Los Angeles Police Department. I am a reserve police officer with the LAPD. And this past weekend, last weekend, all of us as reserves were called up by the LAPD to go work the fires that you all have heard about in the news, the fires in LA and Ventura County. And part of my duties this past weekend was to escort people back to their homes. They had been evacuated from their home because of the fire, and they had all been waiting at a checkpoint to wait to go back to their homes. And what we were doing that day was to allow them to go back to their homes, take 10 minutes, that was our strict orders, no more than 10 minutes, to gather some medicines that they might need or any personal belongings and get them back out. There was about 50 to 100 people that day that were waiting, in the place that we were at least. And the first person we escorted was an older gentleman. And when we got to his property, which was in a nicer part of town, there was a large gate entering his property. And as you looked through the gates, you saw that his house had completely burned to the ground. It was all ashes. The wind was blowing in the canyon still. The ashes were getting worked up. They were getting blown away, and he had lost virtually everything. This is the first time he had seen his property since having evacuated a few days prior. And we could do nothing, my partner and I, we could do nothing but console this gentleman. You could see the trial come over his face. You could see that he had lost not just his property, but he had lost much of his belongings in life. And the scene repeated itself throughout the day. There was another woman who we escorted, an older woman, maybe in her 70s, who had just paid off her house. Everything lost. She wasn't sure where she was going to go. She wasn't sure what she was going to do. There was yet another person who we escorted whose house, the frame of the house was still standing, but it was a complete loss. This is a person who, when the fires came, he left his house, his wife and his children in his house, to go across the street to his neighbor's house to help fight the fire at the neighbor's property, to all of a sudden turn around and discover the fire was at his house and he lost his house completely. SubhanAllah. And the fire did not seem to have a pattern to it. It went to different houses and it didn't have a clear pattern to it. And as we escorted these people throughout the day, I could not help but think of a verse in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, that says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and most certainly we shall try you by means of danger and hunger and loss of worldly goods and loss of lives and of labor's fruits. but give glad tidings unto those who are patient in adversity. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. This verse tells us that the Quran is a living document. The Quran is not just an ancient text that was written over 1400 years ago. It contains within it messages that are applicable to today and tomorrow. And that is, I think, one of the things that I think is important for us to understand. And again, as the scene repeated, and we saw the tears shed, and we saw the despair in certain people's faces, I was reminded of another verse in Surah Al-Balad. لَقَدْ خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ نَفِي خَبَدْ. Verily, we have created man into a life of pain, toil, and trial. Now, alhamdulillah, in these cases here, no lives were lost. These people still had their lives. Of course, there are other parts that we know about in the news that there were several people that were killed in this fire here. And now, as the news came out this morning, up north, the fire up north in Paradise City, I believe, there's over 631 people missing. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give relief and to bless the souls that are affected by these fires. And these people, of course, have now suffered a loss. As the Quran says, we will test you with loss. And these people are experiencing now a pain, a difficulty. And this happens to be their part of their journey now in this life, that they will have lost their houses, they would have lost their possessions. But of course, pain and trial is not limited to something like losing your house. You can experience it in other aspects of one's life. It could be the loss of a marriage. It could be loss of a child. Or it could be that your child is going astray. Or it could be the toil and the pain of a financial difficulty. The scale of life has on it pain and difficulty that may tip in its balance every so often, may cause one to get even desperate at certain points. But I'm here today to tell you that there is a counterweight to that pain. There is a counterweight to balance the scales. That no matter what, we will certainly go through difficulties. There is no getting around that. God subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in his Quran that pain and we will certainly go through those. But how those affect us emotionally, how those play on our souls and in our hearts, there is a great counterweight to that pain. No matter how difficult the trial, no matter how emotional things can get, I offer to you the concept of faith. The concept of faith in an afterlife. That this dunya, this life, this world, is not all that there is. That indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made wal-akhirah. Wal-akhirah khayrun laka min al-ula. The afterlife is the better part of life overall, and this life that we are leading now is the shorter part of our overall life. Realizing that there is an afterlife that is far better for us puts into perspective the losses and the pain that we trials and the tribulations that we will face in this earth. And indeed, I would say that move to faith, that understanding of faith, is done through trial, through pain, through loss. In other words, if you don't experience that, you cannot also understand what faith is. One can say, I am a believer, I believe in La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, and that I pray five times a day, I fast during Ramadan, etc., etc. But as it says in Surah Al-Ankabut, do you say that you think you can just say that you believe and not be expected to be put through a test? Yea, indeed, bad is your judgment. So faith is a huge part of dealing with trials and tribulations. Now, to better understand what I'm talking about, how faith can be this counterweight, I want to share a story from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this story, I've mentioned it from here before, so I apologize in advance to those of you who may have heard it. It may be a little bit repetitive. But it is a story that had profound effect on my understanding of faith and puts in perspective my understanding of life. And it has very many practical and spiritual lessons, which we will not have time to get into today. As a matter of fact, if we spent several khutbas analyzing the story, it would not be enough time. It was a period during the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life where he had now come back to Mecca. You know, he was in Mecca, he fled to Medina, and now he came back triumphant to Mecca. And at that point, it was already understood by the tribes and by the chiefs of the tribes there that Islam and the Prophet Muhammad was a new reality, sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a new reality on the scene. And so the tribes there, and the chiefs in particular, they decided to convert. They decided on their own volition, there was no violence that was part of this, to commit to La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And they did so, again, because there was a new political reality in Mecca. And that if they wanted to participate and be involved, they converted. And so, at around that same time that the Prophet ﷺ had come back to Mecca, the verse about zakat had been revealed. The verse about zakat in Surah Al-Tawbah. And the verse about zakat, verse number 60 in Surah Al-Tawbah, provides seven categories of where zakat can go to. Seven categories. And it says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, the offerings given for the sake of God are meant only for the poor and the needy, and for those who are in charge thereof, and for those whose hearts are to be won over, and for the freeing of human beings from bondage, and for those who are overburdened with debt, and for every struggle in God's cause, and for the wayfarer. This is an ordinance from God, and God is all-knowing and wise. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Now, the Prophet did something, and this is now getting into the story, where he took one of these tribal chiefs who had converted, and he knew that faith was tentative in his heart. He had said the Shahada, but according to the story, his faith was questionable, is the term that it uses. And so the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and if we look at what he did, he decided to have a heart-to-heart, for lack of a better way of putting it. He said, let's go. He told this tribal chief, and the tribal chief's name was Safwan bin Ubaid. Correction, Safwan bin Umay. Safwan bin Umay. And he said, let's go out for a walk, basically. It's actually a horse ride. Let's go for a horse ride. And they went for a horse ride to a valley that was close to Mecca. And entering this valley was a very lush and a very green valley. And he told Safwan, does this valley please you? It's lush and it's green. And Safwan said, yes, it did. It does. It's a very nice valley. And so the Prophet said, as now the person who was dividing the spoils of the war, he said, Safwan, then to you this entire valley belongs. You can have this valley and everything that is in it. And Safwan responded. He said, look at what his response was. He said, I bear witness that no soul could have such goodness as this if it were not the soul of a prophet. And I bear witness that there is no God but the one God, and that you are his messenger. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was using that part of the verse that talked about zakat, those whose hearts are to be won over, and gave him this valley full of lush green fields. Now, again, this was a time when the Prophet had come back from Medina to Mecca. He had brought with him the Ansar as well from Medina, and they numbered in the tens of thousands. And they were poor. They were dirt poor, some of them. And when the Prophet came back, they were expecting that the spoils of war, hey, we're going to get some of that. We're with the Prophet. We're going to get some of these spoils, the camels, the goats, the sheep, whatever it may be, and hopefully get out of the life of poverty that we're in. And it's very interesting how the story goes, because when the Prophet gave this valley to Safwan, and not only just the valley, but he gave some other things to some other tribal chiefs, they started to grumble. They started to complain privately. They didn't complain to the Prophet as yet. They said, look, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if it was something that was given by God to Muhammad, then okay, we will understand if this was his decision that it was a wahi. But this was his own decision. And so they started to grumble. Look, Muhammad has come back to Mecca and he is taking care of his own people. Us, the Ansar, he is forgetting about. He's not giving us the spoils. He's not giving us anything. And we have been loyal to him. We have been loyal not just to him, but to Islam. This got to the Prophet. This word of this grumbling came to the Prophet. And the Prophet Muhammad was told this, and the person who was telling him this, he asked that person, do you also believe this? Do you also think this way? And the person said, yes. And the Prophet Muhammad, O Prophet, this seems to be unfair to us. You are giving this person and these tribal chiefs all the spoils of the war, and here we are. We are suffering, we are impoverished, we have been loyal to you. And so the Prophet Muhammad said, gather everybody up. I want to have a talk with everybody. And in the second part of the khutbah, we'll see what the Prophet said. Qudu Allah, ask Allah for whatever you want. Alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulullah. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abdullahi wa rasuluh. So the Prophet has gotten word now that his followers are not happy about the fact that the spoils of war are being in fact returned to the pagan Quraysh, people who have now come to Islam but whose Islam is questionable. And I want to read to you what the story says in the book from Martin Lings about what happened exactly. And it's a very powerful example. The people gathered up, and this is what the Prophet said to them. He said, men of the helpers, word hath come to me that you are deeply moved against me in your souls. That you are deeply moved against me in your souls. Did I not, when I went to Mecca, find you in error? Did not God guide you and reconcile your hearts amongst the warring parties? Did he not find you poor and enrich you? And they started to get a little bit humble. And they said, indeed, O Prophet, you as God's messenger and God himself, you are most bountiful and you are most gracious. And then look at what the Prophet said to them. He said, okay, I've told you that. Retort, debate me. Debate me with what I'm telling you. And they were perplexed. They said, what do you mean, Ya Rasulullah, debate you? You can respond to me. They said, what do you mean? He said, well, you can tell me that, hey, you, O Muhammad, came to Medina destitute and we took you in. You, O Muhammad, didn't have any followers and we followed you. You, O Muhammad, came and we credited you. So as if he's giving them the argument to argue back with him, which is a very interesting part, and we don't have time to explore it, an interesting part of the characteristic of the Prophet. He was almost being fair. He was giving people the other side of the argument. And he said to them, "Oh, helpers, the people, if the entire world were to go, the helpers being the Ansar, if the entire world were to go in one direction and the Ansar were to go in another direction, you would have the Prophet of God with you as you go in that direction." In other words, what the Prophet was trying to say is that the faith that you have has been entrusted to you. The reason why the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave that lush, verdant valley to that tribal chief is because his faith was weak, and that the faith that the Ansar had was already entrusted and strong in their hearts. That materiality should not be needed by a believer. Material things don't make you strong. It is the faith that makes you strong, and not only the faith that makes you strong, but it is an amana. It is a trust from God. When that starts to resonate in your heart, when you understand the relationship of your place in the universe and how God subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us all, and that there is an afterlife, that understanding and that what you find in your soul is far more important than any material thing that you can have in life. And if material things are used to resonate in people's hearts, so be it, to bring them closer to God. But for us as mu'mins, for us as believers, when we have the power of faith, it is that counterweight. It does balance out the hard and difficult times that we all may face. And in this story, what we are seeing is that the Prophet is telling the impoverished Ansar, "You already have faith. I don't need to give you a valley. You've got something better than a valley. You have the faith of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you have La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah in your heart." That is an important counterweight to the emotional distress that we will undoubtedly go through. It does not resolve the pain. It does not take away the pain. It doesn't mean that, of course, we don't do our share and take our steps to walk in faith. But when you understand you have that faith, it is almost as if it is a guarantee. Imagine if somebody gave you a check for $1 billion. $1 billion. You will have made it. That's it. You don't have to worry about, gas. You don't have to worry about housing. You don't have to worry. You have the money. You, in effect, are rich already. Whether you have a dollar or you have $1 billion, you are already rich. And you are rich with that belief in La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Knowing that God is putting you through those trials and tribulations not to tear you down, but to build you up. And that faith that you have serves as an important tool and should serve and put things in context of what we go through in this life. People's houses burned down, and it was a trial, and it will be a trial for them. And all of us, as the Quran says, will go through trials and tribulations. But having that faith in your heart, having that understanding of the akhirah, that is an extraordinarily important counterweight to any of the trials and tribulations that we go to. O Allah, we ask you to give relief and shifa to those whose homes have been lost. O Allah, we give us the emotional strength and fortitude to deal with the trials and the pains we may suffer in life. Please make us resilient and balanced in our dealings with those trials. O Allah, please forgive our sins and enter us into your paradise, and for all those who have perished before us as well. O Allah, please guide us and protect us from all forms of evil. Please grant us forgiveness and mercy, and enter us into Jannat al-Firdaus. Iqamatus salah. Allahu Akbar.